Yeah.
I hate this stuff. Derek Prue Sr.'s 8-year-old son was born with a large birthmark on his torso, one that often left him feeling insecure. When the family goes swimming, 8-year-old Derek refuses to remove his shirt.
Oh, don't point at me. I never. Maybe I wasn't, wore a shirt. I wore a nose plug.
He wasn't. I bet you did.
And earplugs too.
He was not often vocal about his insecurity, but he did his best to hide the birthmark from others.
Okay.
Seeing his son struggle was challenging for Prue, the dad, Derek Sr. So without telling the 8-year-old, he took on an enormous project to ensure his son would never feel alone again. With the help of Tony Gibbert, owner of Juicy Quill Tattoo Company, at JuicyQuill at Instagram.com, Prue began working on his own identical birthmark tattoo.
Okay.
Dad of the year. Do you understand the story?
Yeah, I'm grasping it.
The son has a giant birthmark on his chest.
Mm-hmm.
He's insecure about it, so the dad goes and gets an identical birthmark tattoo.
Yeah, that's cool.
Dude, that's incredible.
Sure.
Isn't that touching?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
You know that Gracie has a giant birthmark on her stomach, right?
You better get a tattoo.
Here.
You'd freaking pass out at the
See her at the edge of the diaper? As you were telling the story, I'm like, I bet you have no idea.
I had no idea. You better get that tattoo.
Maybe. Hopefully it becomes a cool shape, like a dinosaur or something.
You stare at it like it's clouds in the sky. I see. It's more like a pirate ship to me.
Yeah.
Brittany's like, you freaking idiot. It's not a pirate ship. It's a bandsaw. You better get that tattooed, dog.
Sure.
Though hers is very different than the one in this story. I looked at it.
Oh, okay.
The kid in this story is hideous. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
That's just his face.
Do you have a birthmark?
No.
I do. It's on my arm. So my dad never got that tattooed. So. What are you doing, Greg? Greg took a tumble the other day. My dad.
Yeah, you told me about
that. He was stepping over a gate, and he fell and bruised his ribs and cut open his leg.
Yeah, you showed me pictures.
And he's a big fella.
Yeah.
He's a big fella. He falls hard. He's okay, though, I think.
Yeah.
He's okay.
What I find enjoyable about that yesterday was that...
Oh, no. Tell me what you found enjoyable about that. No, please.
What I thought was funny, that your dad took pictures of, like, his wounds.
No, my mom.
Oh, your mom. Mom took pictures of the wounds and like sent them to you. Like, look at these. Like, that's like what like bros do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't even know. It was very much like the cliche. I don't want to say anything bad about my parents, but the cliche, like every time I get on my phone, my mom describes my dad's, you know, like a mole on his arm or something like that.
Yeah.
That's not my parents, but if my dad gets an injury, my mom sends pictures. For sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Two and a Half Dads. My name's Tyler Wolf.
I'm Taylor Whitney.
And we are drinking Bang energy drinks today, buddy.
Yeah, we are.
Hit me. I can I just be honest about something?
Yeah.
I texted you this morning. I said, let's record the Christmas episode of the podcast and let's drink Bang energy drinks.
Yeah.
I loved that you didn't reject the idea.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes you reject my ideas just for the sake of rejecting them. And I feel in. See, I actually know that that's not true.
Yeah. Okay.
I actually know that that's not true. But that mentality is now seeping into my brain.
Sure.
Because you are saying you don't like that flavor and I love that flavor.
Oh, well.
And I am assuming that you are faking it just to reject me. I feel like I'm just dealing with rejection.
Well, and you told me the flavor you got and said no copying, which is like, that was like the, when I used to drink these, it was that flavor and another, I can't remember.
Raspberry baby.
I was trying to, because I go to at Woodman's, they're like $2 for $3, I think.
Oh, what a deal.
Which is crazy, yeah, because I went to Speedway to pick this thing up. It was almost $3. I'm like, that's dumb.
Yeah, 2-something.
But anyways, when I went there, I saw the flavors. They had the one that you had that I wasn't allowed to have.
But that was a joke because we're not sharing, so you could have gotten your own flavor.
Well, I listened, okay? I am an obedient friend. So I pick, and they had like flavors like sour.
Ooh, which, yeah, sour heads.
Okay, no, not at all. Okay, the idea of having something sour to drink.
Yeah.
Just, I don't like sour things. But then it reminded me of Warheads. Do you remember Warheads?
I do.
Those were currency in my neighborhood growing
up.
Oh,
I love those.
Yeah, dude. Like, we would, like, and each color had, like, a different value. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And the black package, which was, like, the most sour.
Oh, super sour, yeah.
That was, like, the highest currency. And, like, we would literally, like, trade them and, like, use Warheads to trade for, like, non-Warhead items.
Really?
Yeah, dude. They Holy were cow. Straight up currency in Stonebrook Drive.
That is one of those candies that... there's some, I can't describe it probably accurately, but there was like a fad. They were like cool for a minute. Where not all candies are like cool.
Yeah.
But like Warheads were like a moment.
Yeah, they did. It was weird. And then you'd go to Sam's Club and they would, because like you go to like any other store and they just had like small packages of them.
Yeah.
But at Sam's Club, they had like a giant plastic like jar of them. Yeah. Dude,
and I gotta say, dude, awesome. to tie this in with Christmas, mm-hmm. those back in the day when I was a kid, we would open up gifts. Let's say I have four sisters.
Mm-hmm.
We would each get like, let's say 9 Christmas presents. Like we always got a lot of presents.
Oh, nice.
And then
that's not common for like big family.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know what the number was, but I feel like we got a lot of presents.
My dad's brother has 6 kids, and like. I like they just are like, yeah, like you're all getting one.
Well, we would go in a circle. Totally get it. We would go in a circle. So like Melissa would open a gift, Sarah would open a gift, Becky would open a gift, I would open a gift,
mm-hmm.
and then Hannah would open a gift and we'd circle back around. And I'm telling you, dude,
yeah.
As a child, the anxiety and impatience waiting for my turn. I wasn't a jerk, but I would sit there. Like wishing people would unwrap faster.
Uh-huh.
It was like not enjoyable. It was like super joy. Unwrap this present. Thanks so much. I love it. And then immediate like.
What's the next one?
Yeah. Like my stomach would hurt. I would be so anxious.
We would do that on Christmas Eve with my mom's side of the family when we were younger. And it was me and like all my cousins.
Wait your turn.
Yeah. And that one. Because that was like.
And I would be like clawing at the wrapping paper.
Yeah. I don't have the same tendencies that you do.
Oh, man.
So imagining you as a child is pretty funny right now.
Dude, I was born.
Because if I was scratchy.
A broken man.
If I was scratchy at those presents and I am who I am, yeah. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But I'm a broken man, born of a broken man. Zach De La Rocha.
It was helping. Rage Against the Machine. Did you guys do oldest to youngest or youngest to oldest?
I don't remember. We probably always switched it up.
Okay, because what helped for me was we did youngest to oldest, and I'm the second youngest of my cousins. That's so nice. Like,
well, that helps you the first time.
It helps the first time, but then I'm not waiting the first time. You know what I mean? I'm
yes.
like, Jesse's opening his, and then I get to open mine. And then that was like enough satisfaction. And then I could wait because it was like I got to be one of the first ones to open.
Well, what's fun
and
with
then
kids,
I always got to open before Stacy. And if she's listening to this,
she's not.
No,
do you think
not.
She might be?
I don't know. Maybe I'll send her a text to be like, I mentioned you in this, and it's to crap on you because I open before you every year.
Yeah. Turning your mic down. You've had too much bang energy, dude.
Yeah, I should do this every time.
I love these, dude. But I, you know what's
much
funny?
More comfortable.
I just. Have been a parent so much longer than you, so I'm going to bless you with some information.
Okay.
When you give your kids gift, it's funny because you end up, of course I'm joking, because you know I hate that sort of mentality.
I know.
But,
let's clarify for the listeners.
Yeah, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to look down my nose at you, parent of an infant, which there's Wolf House news potential we'll talk about later.
Okay.
You sometimes will... give your kids gifts, whether it's birthday or Christmas, in a strategic order. And it's hilarious. Where we'll be like, good gift, good gift, good gift. And then we need to do kind of a sucky gift, like socks or something.
Yeah.
Right. Like two kind of crappy gifts, things you just need.
Yeah.
Like a bag of socks and a book. Right before the awesome gift. Like there's like some strategery in that.
Bag of socks and books are in the same category.
Well, let's be honest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for a child, yeah.
There's some strategery.
As an adult, though.
Yeah, books are nice.
Books and socks are like nice.
Dude, if somebody gives me a book, I go, I'm on Audible. You know that.
Give me a gift card.
What if I want wings?
It's not enough, Dad.
It's not enough.
That's a...
But there's some strategy in the order you give gifts in. You wouldn't know that. Your child can't even unwrap a present.
No
dexterity.
She is in the biggest leap right now, which is like...
Tell me about that.
Starting to... so grabbing things will start soon. Like, okay. Realizing, so maybe... The biggest
leap, are you using app lingo?
Yeah. I don't use the apps. I am the bad parent of the two.
Yeah.
And Brittany sends me screenshots of like, oh my gosh, like these are the things to expect in their 4-month leap, which is the
biggest
leap. You're
not a bad parent, dude.
Let me finish.
There's got to be one person driving. There's got to be one person driving the car in each arena of life. And so when
that's
I meet,
kind
of
true.
It's so true. And when people try to have two drivers of a car,
yeah.
Like, do you think Alyssa and I both are championing the lawn? No. There's room for one driver and one passenger. I'm in charge of the lawn. She's in charge of she helps, right?
Okay.
She's in charge. Okay, so now closed for Micah. Uh-huh. She's the driver of that car.
Okay.
And I'm along for the ride.
Sure. Okay.
You understand?
Okay. Like, I'm understanding. I'm picking up what you're dropping.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Continue.
But anyways, she was sending me screenshots of like what to expect in this time, and she was like circling the one. She's like, we're already seeing these. This is crazy.
Yeah. And she's a genius.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She's so smart. Dude, but at 3 months, she's in 9-month clothing already. Like, she is a beast.
Yeah.
Like, and like not every morning, but like from Monday, my mom has her Monday, Wednesdays, and my mother-in-law Tuesday, Thursdays. And from like Monday to today is Wednesday, the 23rd. She like grew, dude. Like, my mom's looking at her this morning when I dropped her off, and she's like, her head looks bigger.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I know. And these 9-month sleepers we have her in right now,
yeah,
like she's already starting, her toes are already at the end of those. I'm like, I can't handle this. 3.5 months is what she's at.
She has the DNA to probably be a decent basketball player because Brittany's tall.
Yep, Brittany's 6'1". I'm 6 even.
You're tall-ish, and no, I'm just saying. Like, you're.
I like. You know, you should have doubled down on that being funny. Because
no,
like,
you're slightly above 6'1", average.
6'1". You're 6 feet, so you're tall-ish.
No, I'm saying like she's tall.
Yeah.
You're above average,
mm-hmm.
and you have basketball skills. Brittany probably never played, right?
No, and that if you ever. No, I'm not even gonna say it. She's not like a people person, so it's like, but
you just said your wife's not a people person. She's gonna hate that you said that.
I mean, she is. She's just not social. You know, like,
way to fix it.
Yeah, way to fix it. Let's just keep digging this hole. There's always a door in the doghouse.
You don't even have a birthmark tattoo.
But that was the thing that she'd always get asked by people.
Do you play basketball?
You play basketball? You play volleyball?
Oh yeah.
And then she's like, no. They're like, Like, strangers are disappointed
like
in her.
A waste of height.
Yeah, and she's always like, wow, way to value me as a person, as capable at sports.
Dude, I was at your house for fights a few weeks ago, and I got to sit down and talk to Brittany for...
She enjoyed that a lot,
like 10
by
minutes,
the way.
And I felt like I lit because I want her to start a podcast, and I legitimately want her to, and so I felt like I laid it on a little thick.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't mean that. It wasn't... But... What I'm really trying to bring up is that I really enjoyed talking with her.
Yeah.
I don't get to talk to her that often.
Yeah. She enjoyed it as well. Especially now with like...
Well, how could she not? It's me. Go ahead.
Especially now with Gracie, it's like some Sundays are good Sundays to come to church and some aren't. So she's not always getting like outside of work people and outside of me to talk to. So she's like, give me some good conversation.
Yeah.
I miss it.
Yeah, I enjoy talking to her. I'm reading a book right now. Do you know a guy named Steve Martin?
Yeah, the comedian are we talking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm reading his book right now, his biography. It's called Born Standing Up. And he's talking about his dad. And his dad was not a good dad.
Well, it would make sense why he's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, his dad was very silent. Beat the crap out of him once when he was 9 and then never beat him up again.
I feel like that does worse.
Yeah,
it's like you never know when the next one's coming.
Well, it never came again.
Right. Someone I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about Steve. Was it Joe Rogan? Joe Rogan and Bill Burr were talking about Steve Martin.
Yeah.
That was...
Well, one thing is...
Hearing two comedy legends of our generation.
Talk about
our
Steve
day,
Martin, right.
Yeah, I was like, well, I want to get into Steve Martin now.
Oh, dude, he's so... The okay, I'm writing something down to bring up.
Well, did you watch him and Martin Short stand up on Netflix?
I did not watch the whole thing.
It was pretty funny. Can't recommend. It's a little rough.
I have a question, and then I have a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Martin talks about his dad trying to make it a little bit in show business.
Sure.
And then just it not really doing it for it. Like, he's not making it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steve Martin starting to exhibit real... You shaking from the Bang Energy
Do you
drink?
See me holding this guy? Yeah, dude,
that's how you know it's good.
I'm going to need a run after this. Or eat a bunch of McDonald's.
He talks about, so he didn't make it in show business, and then he starts to see that his son is getting good at magic tricks and is, like, becoming funny. He's kind of, like, outdoing his dad.
Yeah.
And he says, I believe that my dad resented me for being better than him.
Wow.
What could Gracie become good at? Like, of course, you're not going to do that. You're a great dad. Well, Jerry's out, but...
we'll see when she starts talking.
Yeah. But what could she get good at that to make you resent her?
I don't think anything.
Let me word it in a different way.
No, I've thought about this. Dude, I've legitimately...
What might hurt for her to be better at than you at? So not resent her, but what might hurt?
I don't... If she somehow got better at Tony Hawk video games than I am. Dude, because I think that's weirdly the only one I can... Because I'm sitting here going, I've already thought about it. Like, I'm so excited for her to be able to, like, pick up sticks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm even more excited for her to be able to pick up a basketball. Just because that's like... You know, like, drums is, you can do at the same time, but it's really a singular thing. But, like,
that's what I'm worried about, dude.
The moment she can hold a basketball, I'm like, I hope, really, really hope. And Brittany being, having a really solid relationship with her father, always, because I've, you know, I'm an only child, especially, but, like, you know, not a lot of, like, daughters to their dad. Kind of thing, like the way Brittany is to her dad in my life. So it was like, Brittany always says, she's like, even if I didn't like it, I wanted to do that because my dad did it. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when I was younger, because there's just like that bond. So I'm like, okay, so hopefully at least she'll be like interested in basketball for a while, like until like dad's not cool. But yeah, like, but I'm like, I hope she's interested in basketball. And I hope she's like, I hope she's better at it than I ever was.
Sure.
Or like committed to it like I never was.
Mm-hmm.
And then same with drumming. I think it'd be so cool to be like, here you go. You know what I mean? Like here's everything dad knows. Learn more than dad knows, because dad definitely hit a peak and went, I don't need to learn.
Yeah.
You know, like I reflect back on my time drumming and go, I didn't learn jazz or bossa nova or anything like that, because I was like, I'm a rock drummer, you know, and I hate it now that I'm 30. Looking back at 18-year-old Taylor, I'm like,
done
it.
I do, in regards to music, of course I want Micah to be a musician, but I hope that he can be less of a one-track person than me. Like, I want him to do jiu-jitsu or some sort of fighting. I just think it's...
Yeah.
I like the basicness of that sport, whether it's striking or jiu-jitsu or whatever. But I also want him to be a musician. I want him to play.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't take to any of it, that's fine. But like me, I was like, it's music, no sports.
Oh, sure.
And then I turned like 22 and was like, oh, I'll do sports. I'll start running.
Which is the thing you do to get good at sports.
Yeah,
it's not really a sport.
Right. Well, that's what I do to get good at jiu-jitsu now.
Yeah. Yeah, cardio.
But I hope that he can do both. Not that, though, right now we're kind of at the point where we go, like, he's in swim lessons right now, and he's not going to start jiu-jitsu until he's done with swim lessons, because we're not going to do... You do five sports, and two of them happen at the same time.
So can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Okay. So as a kid... So music was like your thing, but did you do like get excited about doing something and then get into it and then quit it?
I did What's it called? Is it Pop Warner? Pop Horner?
Pop Warner sounds more.
Pop Warner football. So like Pee Wee football.
Okay.
But it's full contact, whatever.
Oh, okay.
I did that as soon as I was old enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did it a second year. And then I did it a third year. And at this point, I'm like 13 or something. And yeah. I remember like a quarter way through the season. And I didn't articulate it back then. Here's what it... I didn't articulate it as an identity crisis. I remember talking to my sister. I think it was my sister, Sarah. I said, I feel really bad that I don't want to do this anymore because this is like, this is what you do and this is who I am.
With football?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And dang. I was like, I feel so, I was like, I hate going to practice. I'm not interested in it anymore. And I think my sister was just like, well, you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
So I think I quit quarter way through that year because I just would so much rather play guitar.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Does that, what was your question?
It was like, it, like as a kid, did you ever get really interested in something and then get into it and then just like go, no, I don't want to do this and quit?
Not once I started playing music. I did football for 2.5 years and then that was as close to that as possible. And then it was just music, recording and writing and playing in bands, whatever.
Yeah.
That was it.
Okay. Because I feel like that's like common in kids where it's like,
yeah,
I want to play soccer and they do peewee soccer for like a season or two and it's like, okay. And then it's like, for me, it was that, and then it was karate.
Yeah, I polished rocks taekwondo. For a while. I had a rock polisher.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Wait, what is a rock tumbler?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got one of those for Christmas as a kid once.
Me too.
And I don't think I ever used it. I used it, I think, once, and then, like, made my mom earrings for, like, a birthday or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was like, I'm done with this.
I used it to cook crack at the age of 9. No, I'm just kidding.
Similarly, though, I did. Once I picked up sticks and started playing drums, it was like everything else. I stopped playing basketball. I stopped.
Questlove Pocket Kit, baby, right for right size for Gracie.
Yeah,
in a couple of years.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Well, we got to talk Christmas.
Christmas.
Okay. So I wanted to know, that was the second thing Steve Martin related is I wanted to bring up. I can't wait. See, you're not like me in this way, but I think you will go there. I can't wait until you start to connect with Steve Martin's famous movies, Father of the Bride.
Oh.
That's going to get you, dude. Martin Short has characters in those movies.
No, I've seen those
movies. Yeah, but I think you're going to connect with it in a new way.
Oh.
In the near future.
Sure.
Especially once she's a teenager.
Yeah. There were some, I mean, even this year watching Christmas movies.
Did it get you a little bit?
Not even like get me a little bit, but like now being a parent, like as cliche as it was to hear it when I wasn't a parent, man, do perspectives change once like a child is in your life?
Yeah.
Watching like Home Alone and being like, that would never happen. You know what I mean? Like it'd be like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like that's, you know, yeah. But then, like, I don't know. There was just, like, some movies. Oh, man. Now I'm trying to think. Because we've watched some things, and there was, like, a girl, like, either, like, a daughter in it or, like, a child or something. And you're just like, Even, like, I relate more with, like, the parent characters now than, like. So, like, the movie Elf. When James Caan is, like, I'm one pitch away from losing my job, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I suddenly am, like, oh my gosh, if I was in that situation and I have a child at home, an income that is dependent on, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, I understand James Caan's stress now.
Yeah,
right. It's so much different. I'm like, before it was like, oh, but Buddy is such a lovable guy.
Right, you're not willing to risk.
Right.
You're not willing to risk your ability to do your responsibilities.
Yeah.
And provide, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is why, like, I think about, like, dude, I don't want to hurt anybody, but when I think about just a self-defense situation,
mm-hmm.
like, if someone broke in and I was able to subdue them, so now I have them controlled, right? Like, they're underneath me, and I could be there
mm-hmm.
while Alyssa calls 911. Can you tell I've thought through this?
Yes. Is this like when you're like trying to fall asleep at night, you're kind of like playing scenarios out and then all of a sudden you're like wide awake because it brought your heart rate up?
You have no idea, dude.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh my, yeah, you do. I think
mine's
through,
not about that, but
I think through I think through if I'd have them controlled, and then I would be like, if I got to thinking about what they were actually trying to do, oh, like, no, you came in and you were intending on stealing from me, hurting my family, hurting my son, I feel like I would begin to break their bones.
Yeah. Okay. So,
like, I would really begin to, I would break their, I would get, here's what I would do, yeah, is I would gain full mount and I would break their left arm with an Americana. And so now they would be screaming in pain.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would move over and I would break their right arm via Americana,
mm-hmm,
and then both ankles via ankle lock. Go ahead.
Wow. I mean, you know what, though? Much better than just firing blankly at a human body that is like, yeah, let's just end their life.
I don't
or
want...
this is like, let's just debilitate them and they will heal. Because sure, even like you read stories of people who like were shot in the recovery process and the bills they get after that.
Yeah.
It's like you almost wish it would have hit a vital organ because sure, it's like, well, and they bankrupts people.
I truly do want to be clear that I think what I'm commenting on is my passion to protect my family,
mm-hmm,
not a desire to hurt anybody. Because I will say getting into combat sports,
yeah,
like getting into jiu-jitsu has, I feel like, actually made me a less violent person in my heart.
Because interesting.
Yeah, I have nothing to prove. I get to work all that out in a healthy environment.
Yeah.
So I don't actually want to hurt anybody, but I'm just saying,
yeah,
dude, if somebody really tried to hurt my family, I feel like I would want to end them.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably, it's interesting, way off the rails on Christmas, but it's interesting though, because I was thinking about like, so like something that I, and my dad and I both like I realized it and my dad was like, yeah, like that's like kind of in us. It's like the Scots-Irish thing where you can go from 0 to 100 real quick and you're like, how did I get there? You mm-hmm know, like driving, people cutting you off or like. And so, like, I've thought about, like, man, like, and this is literally last night laying in bed, and I'm going, like, man, like, how do I, like, tame that?
Yeah.
You know, like, and then, like, not, you know, I'm going to go spiritual here, but, like, I realized, too, like, while thinking about that, trying to fall asleep last night, that it's, like, well, that's actually, like, that's, like, something that God has to redeem for his glory. You
yeah
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, something that I, like, will struggle with and will battle with probably the rest of my life, that quick trigger anger
yeah
that can come. But you saying that about this jiu-jitsu thing, like it's made you less of a violent person or
for
whatever,
sure.
Maybe I'm like, maybe I should like get into something like that, because
yeah
it's not like I want to, but there are times where I go like, man, I feel like I'm angry, though I'm not really sure what I'm like angry about, but I almost want to like pick fights with people
mm-hmm
just to be, because it's yeah like that Scott, it's that's, I don't know if it's Scott's Irish heart.
It might be. That might amplify it, but I totally relate.
Yeah.
And I honestly think honor is the answer. And I will keep this extremely short, but the thing that I love about jiu-jitsu and why I want to get Micah into it is because, like, I think it actually translates to the gentle art or the mm-hmm gentle way. And though it is combat and you are hurting another person, there's no striking. And there is love in the violence of jiu-jitsu, meaning it's about controlling a person,
mm-hmm,
stopping them from hurting you, protecting other people from them,
mm-hmm,
but there's love in it because it's not about bashing their face in. It's about controlling them. It's about the fact that it's better that your arm be broken
yeah
than you die from blows to the head. So there's love in the violence of jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
And it leaves you with, you don't have anything to prove.
Sure.
And that's when you meet people that feel like they got something to prove.
Hey.
At Walmart or wherever.
Yeah.
You not only are pitiful and a loser, but I want to punch you in the face.
Yeah, that was I'm not like a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've talked about this in previous yeah two and a half dads.
Yeah.
But one thing I have learned, which is, and I've even said it with Brittany, like never fight anyone who has nothing to lose.
Oh yeah.
Even like verbal argument. You know what
sure
I mean? Like
yeah
never fight with like a store like clerk or even like if back when you would work retail, like now we don't, but like someone who's getting mad at you and, you know, screaming your head off, like,
yeah,
they already have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
No need to match their level of
pettiness. I think nothing to lose, as well as basically someone that feels like they have something to prove.
Yeah.
You know, because they're dangerous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's like compassion to be had on them. And I don't mean that in a, like a passive aggressive way.
Yeah. Did you finish Joe Rogan and Andrew Scholl's interview?
Not yet.
They talk about Jake Paul going with the water balloons in the back of the truck. Which fighter was that? That was getting
Dylan Danis.
Yeah. And Joe Rogan just, because like Joe had not seen Andrew showed it to him. Because Andrew was explaining Jake Paul's, like, fame. Yeah.
And I just watched the interview that was being conducted when the attack happened.
Okay.
The separate one.
And because, like, Joe immediately is just like, oh, my gosh. Like, he drives away. You drive all the way there. And yeah. Andrew's just like, that's part of who he is, though. He's just a pest. He's like, yeah. Get under your skin. It's and he is a master at it. Like, yeah. If there were PhDs given out for that, he has one.
Yeah.
But Joe just goes, well, he doesn't want him to get a hold of him because that's a bad man.
Yeah.
And he starts going, he's like, he'd break his legs. Yeah. And then he'd rip his arms off. And then he'd choke his neck so hard that his head would just come right off.
Because Dylan Danis is a jiu-jitsu savant.
And I was like thinking about that where it's like, yeah, you just don't want to mess with people.
Yeah.
You never know where they're coming from.
Well, that's why like any of these celebrities challenging people to boxing, it has to be boxing, not anything else. Because boxing is an art and it takes a long time to master.
Yeah.
But it's not as dense. Where like jiu-jitsu, to beat a guy in like Dylan Danis in jiu-jitsu or anybody that's great at it,
uh-huh.
takes years and years and years. Boxing, you can accelerate a little faster.
Well, you need some natural ability.
Yeah.
Like
in what?
Boxing. The sport. Because that's the thing with like basketball or football too, you know? Like there are people who do train every day their whole lives.
Yeah.
And they still don't make it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? True. Like there is some natural ability and just like.
Sure. Yeah.
That's just God given.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I do just want to say, out of respect for the sport of jiu-jitsu, based on how much I've talked about it in this episode,
uh-huh.
My philosophies about jiu-jitsu that I've stated today,
mm-hmm.
In no way, shape, or form reflect my skill level. I just want to say, I've talked a lot about it. I've expressed passion for it. I am nothing.
I did get a lot of entertainment.
I'm not good
out
at
of
it.
The one time you and Juan were doing jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Because
it was like he was coaching you, but then like, and then it's so foreign to me because like I've never been a contact person.
Yeah.
Like I hated football. Definitely, like even playing basketball, I'm like, I have a good jump shot because that's how much I hate going into the paint and having contact. You know what I mean? They're like, wow, you really shoot the lights out. And like, don't ask me to go into the paint though, you know. Like, but like, he would just have you go like, all right, let's reset that. There was an opportunity, you know what I mean? And you guys are just both like on the ground sweating like crazy, and like I'm watching his elbows are like grazing noses and like orbital bones, and I'm like, the moment an elbow just grazed my nose, I'd be like, tap, get me out of this, I'm done.
I wish you would drop that, because the exercise, camaraderie, and honor. Mm-hmm. Those three things put together, it's just a good time, and it doesn't hurt that bad.
Yeah, it's I think of the, what was that movie? Green Street Hooligans.
I haven't seen it yet.
Which is like Connor Manning's
loves it
favorite movie, and it's such a Connor Manning movie. And Elijah Wood gets like punched in the face for the first time.
Is that Frodo?
It's Frodo.
Okay.
Or Wilfred, was that the other show he did? That one was wild. But he gets punched in the face and he's like, commentating over, like dialogue over it. And he goes like, once you realize you're not made of glass, you realize that like your body can take more than you thought.
Oh, sure.
And I've always thought of that going like, yeah. Cause like, it's funny dude, like back in high school, I go in mosh pits all the time at like hardcore shows.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I've got, Brittany saw a picture of me once where like I was in the pit with just like this huge bloody nose. And I asked for that bloody nose because nobody started a mosh pit for this band called Sleep Therapist Sleep. And I went, someone needs to start something.
Yeah.
So I just started throwing people, opening up a pit. And a kid did not like that. He came up to me and walloped me in the face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, there was a time where I was just like, yeah, I don't care. But not, like, I don't know what transition. Because it was a short period of time where I was like, I don't care. And then yeah. right back to, like, don't touch me.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I think I would enjoy it. You know what?
Jiu-jitsu or boxing?
Jiu-jitsu. I don't think I would enjoy boxing.
Yeah.
I'm going to be totally honest with you, dude.
I would enjoy the cardio. I've thought about, because the YMCA has classes, doing like a kickboxing class. Because like, I have zero flexibility. My doctor in high school was like, you have the worst flexibility in someone your age I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, that's the level I'm at. So like, it might be just good for me to like, stretch out those limbs.
There's so much of that in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, basketball, like, I kind of turtle up.
Dude, you should just
find a sport that kind of...
You should just find a week that you can come do it three times in that week. Do your 7-day free trial at the gym and try it.
Yeah, maybe. That might not be bad.
Yeah. I have to admit, I really recognize, and it always comes out from you for some reason. I recognize, like, I think I have some rejection issues. Because, like, when you won't do boxing drills with me and the other guys, I'm like, I feel like you're doing it on purpose, dude. Come and box with us. And you just don't want to get hit.
I don't. I don't like contact. And I don't. Yeah. I'm very comfortable in knowing who I am.
Yeah. Well, for self-defense, dude, you should do jiu-jitsu. Because if someone's breaking into your house, your ability to throw a good calculated punch, I mean, you just start swinging your arms because you're angry and panicking. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where like jiu-jitsu, you had gone 100% effort against another person hundreds of times before that real situation.
Sure.
You know what I mean? In boxing, you're never really throwing 100%. You know what I mean? You don't get to practice the real thing. I flippin' love it, dude. Christmas.
I can't believe how far we've gone away from Christmas.
Well, I was going to say, when you're talking about warheads, my mom used to always give us the 9 gifts, a big gift, and then a care package. That, like, in retrospect, it was just a cheap way to give us more gifts. But it would be like, oh, I got my own canister of beef jerky.
Oh, nice.
So what was that, like, $8 gift? But it felt like whatever it was.
Yeah, I was gonna say, beef jerky is strangely expensive.
Yeah, but this was the 90s, you know what I'm saying? When beef jerky flowed like wine. You know. But we would get food. We'd get individually wrapped food, like a canister of warheads. You know what I mean? Not expensive.
Sally's just a doomsday prepper.
Yeah, I would get my own 12-pack. Think about it. It's like, well, see, you were an only child, so I don't feel like you're connecting with this.
I'm not.
I had multiple siblings, so when I got my own 12-pack of soda, like, this is mine. Nobody gets it. This is for me.
Sure.
It was, like, the best.
I understand that now.
So, Christmas plans. What are you getting? What are you getting, Gracie? Brittany drives this car, I'm assuming?
No, like, we got her, like, a child's... And because it's one of those things where you're like, what do you get a 3.5-month-old for her first Christmas.
You know
and
what you get her? You buy her some...
Yeah, you say something, and then when I give my answer, it's going to be way less.
No,
yeah,
you buy...
a good idea.
I already know this is going to sound bad, but you buy her some protection, and by that, I mean you buy her dad jiu-jitsu classes.
Yeah, sure. No, we got her a child's nativity set.
Aww.
You know what I mean? Like, because again, it's like, well... And
no, that'll be really... You're going to give that to her on Christmas, so that'll be really useful to her a year after opening
it. Well, we already gave it to her. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like... We're not going to be, taking pictures. Like, because neither of us are this, like... Like, we cherish memories, and we love... Like, we like tradition in some regard, but, like, looking at, like, 3.5-month-old opening...
Yeah.
Like, we don't really even do presents for each other very often. You know what I mean? Like, we enjoy the Christmas morning, like, before Gracie. Like, it's quiet. Like, we'd make a good breakfast or something.
Yeah.
But then, like, just enjoy the fact that we're not going to work. We're going to see family that day. And then, like, especially with working at a church, Christmas Eve is always, like, really busy.
Yeah.
So it's, like, after a full day of services, and then we used to see my parents after it. This year we're switching it because Gracie's sleep schedule. But Christmas morning was the present was just like quiet time together. So, yeah. So like this year, it's like with Gracie, it's, you know, we got her the nativity thing and it's out on display. Mm-hmm. And then my grandpa always gives money for the great grandkids. Mm. So, we like took that money and also bought her this like caterpillar thing that like helps her sit up or do tummy time.
I saw that at fight night.
Yeah. So she has that. And again, like we already opened it. She's using it. Cause like, what's the point of sitting it, you know, for her to look at us opening her gift and not even register. You know what I mean? Like, but like, we'll still like take pictures of her with those things. It's just not this like Christmas morning thing. Like again, we'll just enjoy the time together as a family in silence, but then, you know, go off and do the day of seeing my parents first. And
do you already have an outfit picked out for Christmas?
I think
don't pretend like you don't if you do.
No, I think Brittany does. Like I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not like, again, I didn't drive. I'm not driving that car.
Yeah. You know what? I just was thinking, and maybe a better way to describe the car driving thing I'm trying to push here is it's like zone coverage.
Sure. Yeah.
Like zone. Is that?
Yeah. That's the thing. Zone. Yeah. Also in basketball.
Yeah. It's like zone
defense.
Zone coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's how we operate our house.
Yeah. And that's a better way of saying it.
Yeah. And what's the opposite of zone?
Man to man.
Yeah. We don't do man to man. We do zone.
That's the Bang energy drink coming out.
Yeah. Cool.
So what are your Christmas tradition or plans?
Well, we'll be in church on Christmas Eve and then watch The Grinch with Micah.
Animated or Jim Carrey?
Animated.
Oh, wait. Now there's two animated. There's the classic animated and
I think we're watching the new animated, I think. I don't know.
Maybe. I heard it's not bad. Three Grinches out there, you're like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Slow down, Hollywood.
Well, then we will... So watch that with Micah. Mm-hmm. Wake up, do Christmas just as the wolf pack. At our house, Mike is getting his first Nerf gun because he officially has the arm power to cock the gun back and pull the trigger and whatever.
Sweet.
And we got him something I never had as a child. We got him a whole bucket of extra darts.
Oh, nice.
You know what I mean? Mm. I only ever had what came with the gun.
Want to hear a...
yeah. Yeah, I do.
An only child perspective of Nerf guns?
Yeah, I do. Always the gun, never the target.
Yeah, I was going to say, you just kind of shot the Nerf gun at targets. Or the Schnauzer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, I've thought about that, like...
It's funny, Brittany, sorry, child thing, because, like, to me, it was never weird, but then, like, especially being married, and so, like, when we talk about past, it's like, you know, this realization of, like, oh, I guess, like, I didn't do that. Like, it's not weird to me. I don't feel like I missed out on anything.
Yeah.
But it's just funny to, like... Imagine just like, oh, cool. Dunk.
Well, Micah's like an only child.
Or at Target.
So that's actually funny.
Yeah.
But we bought him a 2-pack of Nerf guns so that Alyssa, and let's be honest, let me totally rephrase that. Alyssa plays with Micah.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, like, it amazes me what a good mom she is. Like, she'll do these puzzles with him. And, like, has led him to be able to put puzzles together, like a 30-piece giant puzzle together on her own.
Yeah.
She's incredible.
There's a tear falling from his cheek right now.
No.
For the listeners.
But the Nerf gun thing is definitely more a me thing.
Yeah.
So we bought him two so that him and I could go.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So Nerf guns. I will say Micah just got his shots this year, and he did not cry at all. Which, in the words of Nate Bargatze, either means he's incredibly brave or a psycho. Because he just, like, tensed up and took the needle and then
hey,
like,
psychopaths can be brave, too.
That's true. That's true.
That's a scary combo. It's actually the worst case scenario. Did you think about that?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'll love him either way. I'll love him either way. So I'm trying to think of what else. Let me look at my notes here. New Nerf gun. I'm going to I've shared more details with you. I'll spare the podcast, but I'd love to get this on record. I'll spare the podcast too many details. Let's get it on record. We are recording this on December 23rd.
Second time that's said. Okay.
We said that?
I did.
Oh. We're recording this on December 23rd, and as of right now, the Wolf family could potentially have a newborn baby in our home any day.
Nice.
So the dynamic could shift.
I hope you have a girl.
That'd be great.
I really hope you have a girl.
That'd be great. I play the part of boy dad better, but I'm willing to, yeah, I couldn't be a foster parent and dig my heels in on like a gender preference for children at the same time.
Sure.
And I will say, I'm not going to get deep here.
It's not like a preference thing. I'm going just from the perspective of like my experience with having a daughter.
Yeah.
Because I did not, when the gender reveal, which I know we talked about in an earlier episode, but like being like completely taken off guard and not, and then like, I don't know what to do with a daughter.
Yeah.
And now having a daughter, I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. I actually think I like am enjoying being a girl dad.
Yeah.
Like way more than I thought I would.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like to even say like to even have a deeply rooted preference is very weird to me.
Yeah.
Because of course.
What are you guys doing here?
What time are we going? It's noon. I thought 12:30. You said noon. Oh. Just give me a couple minutes.
Couple minutes.
All right.
All right.
I think to have a deeply rooted preference is that was Blake McCarty.
And Jonah.
And Jonah Farrow. What's up, Jonah?
Jonah Farrow.
To have like a deeply rooted preference is strange.
Mm-hmm.
They threw me off my groove.
Yeah, it's fine. It is strange to me. Like I didn't have a preference, but I guess I realized when I saw what we were having that I kind of did very, very subconsciously. And it was only because I'm familiar with boys.
Boys.
Because
yeah, I think one. That's normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're mostly one. I think, again, you are like one of the few people I'll share this with, but I've been listening on repeat to the Bruce Springsteen song, famously covered by Rage Against the Machine, The Ghost of Tom Joad. And it has me fired. It has me fired up about ministry and foster care because he has this line where he says, wherever there's a cop beating a guy or a hungry newborn baby cries, wherever there's a fight against the blood and hatred in the air, look for me, Mom, I'll be there. And then he says, wherever there's someone struggling to be free for a decent job or a helping hand, look in their eyes, Mom, you'll see me. Meaning, like, when we look at someone who's broken, or we look at even our children in their struggle or their suffering, whether it's teething or, you know, shame, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we look at broken people, we have this responsibility not just to have compassion on them, but to be like, I am them. I am in the broken because I have been called to place myself in the broken.
Yeah.
And so that fires me up about foster care. In adoption, going like, that is my call.
Yeah.
It's like my destiny. And it feels good to know that and feel secure in it.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to have a different flavor of what I'm describing.
Yeah.
But I'm just excited about it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And the highway is alive tonight. Nobody fooling nobody as to where it goes. Bruce Springsteen, the boss.
He was really great on SNL last
I did
week?
Not miss it. Did 2 weeks
ago.
Did you play
ago.
That song?
No.
Then I don't care.
Okay.
Anything else you want to add?
Nope.
Did you put Christmas lights on your house?
No.
Well, it sounds like you're a half dad again then.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just joshing. All right, man. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.